I don't remember this, but hey, whatever. Is that thing fixed? It's like, I hate when stuff's hokey, and like this, glue. Like, dude. Oh.
Where did that come from?
It's been there. It's like, I just got rid of a bunch of it with my thumb. I don't, you want something done right.
Test.
some new commissioners. Yeah, those boots are serious.
Oh, man.
That's my little sister after Halloween. We could not get her out of
that's
costume.
Yeah, you just can't.
My mom's just like, fine. I'm just going to get her a second one. So
exactly.
Thank you. My wife and I were in India 2 weeks ago. The best trip I've ever been on in my life. I have never been to Mumbai, the north.
Then you go to Delhi?
Yes. Oh my God. We had the best trip.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our commission meeting. We're going to move things around a little, but first off, I want to welcome our newest member of the commission, Commissioner Darshan Singh, right down here on the left. Welcome. We all look forward to working with you. And I'd like to ask for a motion on the adoption of our agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Now, I'm going to move things around just a little bit today. We're going to, first off, let me ask for an adoption of our March 28th regular minute meetings. Are there any corrections or additions to the March 28th commission meeting?
Deletion in full of commissioner reappointment, which is the third item from the end. Since the motion was improper, any action that followed was, according to Robert's Rules of Order, null and void. And so it's a non-event, so to speak. So I, with the striking of that entire item titled Commissioner Reappointment, I move the adoption of the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Now, the change that we're going to do today is I'm going to make the presentation of our employee of the month, since there are some small kids here and they might get a little restless. So, the commission is pleased to honor Alfie Ibarra Penaflor as the April 2019 Employee of the Month. Alfie is a project manager and space planner for the Admin Operations Program. Starting her human service agency career in 2001, Alfie has excelled in several roles and has become one of the most knowledgeable and reliable leaders in the Admin Operations Program. Today, Alfie heads the HSA Space Planning and Project Management team, leading the completion of several major renovations and reorganization projects, including the renovation of Bourne Auditorium, where we're sitting now, renovation of the HSA Workforce Development Center mission, renovation of DOS Benefits and Resource Hub, multiple renovations at 1235 Mission Street, most recently the lower level, multiple renovations, at 170 Otis Street, most recently the fifth floor. Specifically, Alfie has completed over 175 projects for HSA since 2015. Under Alfie's supervision, the space planning team has performed over 3,000 individual moves since 2015. Aside from excelling at her roles in project management and space planning, Alfie is an emerging leader for the agency and brings a wealth of talent and knowledge to the table, figuratively and literally. We are incredibly grateful for the pride she puts into every single job she does and the leadership she provides by setting the example for others. It is rare to find an individual whose work improves and enhances the entire agency, and we are lucky to have someone as well qualified and dedicated as Alfie. In addition to that, she's the mother of twins, which is not part of this. On behalf of my fellow commissioners and myself, we thank you for your contributions and congratulate you for earning the Employee of the Month award. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to have been nominated and awarded this Employee of the Month for April. It's a wonderful thing when you're recognized and appreciated for your work, and it's more motivation just to continue to be better and do better. So thank you for my directors, Trent and R.E. R.E., you're doing a great job just even recognizing yourself. Hard work, so thank you for that. My team, everybody in admin ops, people that we work closely with, IT, all the programs that we're always working with, thank you for making it easier for me to do my job. It's all about the teamwork, and it's the teamwork that gets the job done. So it's really for everybody. Thank you.
Trent, do you have some words?
I'll just say, congratulations, Alfie. I'll just say a couple things. First of all, the job is an enormous job. We have, you know, probably a dozen or so sites throughout the city, 2,400 employees, and you know, when you ask employees through surveys or whatever what's really important to them, one of the highest things they say is their facilities and their workspaces. And we all know how we like our workspaces, and we want to be comfortable, and moves are always you know, threatening to some. So when they happen smoothly and they result in better workspaces because of your leadership, Alfie, that's a great thing. And on behalf of the 3,000 or so people who have been moved under your stewardship, I thank you for them. So congratulations.
Thank you again, Alfie. So moving forward, well, we're going to now call on Trent Rohr to make his executive director's report.
Good morning, commissioners, and a special welcome to our newest commissioner, Commissioner Singh. We're very happy to have you. Commissioner Singh is a veteran of city government, having served on various commissions for 30 years, I believe? 31 years. So we are in good hands with our newest appointed commissioner, and thank you for serving. I'll start with an update at the state level and focusing on the activity around securing funding for our child welfare system and family and children's services. We have a whole slew of budget initiatives that we are actively supporting, testifying on behalf of, and partnering with many entities to support this these various budget items. So there are several under our continuum of care reform implementation that we need either extension of existing funding or additional funding around foster parent recruitment, retention, and support, funding for a resource family approval process so that we can continue as an agency to expedite the certification of our resource families, otherwise more formally known as foster parents. We're trying to secure new funding to support a family urgent response system, which we're calling FERS, which is housed in Assembly Bill 1005. This is funding to allow for county mobile response teams to go out to either to preserve existing foster care placements or to prevent removal of children should a family be in crisis. The funding we're seeking is $30 million in ongoing state general funds, $15 million in the first year. We're also seeking funding to expand our Bringing Families Home program. This is our housing subsidy program for homeless parents who are engaged in the child welfare system and for whom the lack of housing can be a barrier to reunification. So we're seeking additional funds for that. We currently do receive funding under this program, but the program statewide is only $10 million. We're trying to get it expanded to $25 million. We're also seeking a significant amount of money to support our transitional aged youth or kids who are in what's called extended foster care. These are kids up to age 21, so young adults, not kids. $50 million to support their housing needs. Over $30 million to help our caseworkers assist these young adults in navigating the housing system, finding housing, increasing the amount of support we can give them to pay for their housing, should they not be in a placement with that's supported in other means. And then lastly, a significant amount of money to increase funding statewide for training for our child welfare staff and social workers. We're looking to add additional $22 million statewide to augment the training, which is critical given the number of changes that happen every year in child welfare, but particularly under CCR and the new and better way that we're delivering services to our at-risk families. And so training staff is sometimes overlooked at the state level, but it's vitally important. So these are all in the budget process now. The policy hearings are going on now and in the next couple weeks. The May revise from the governor will be released in probably the second week of May, so we'll get a better picture on the direction, both on revenues, but also on any changes or additions the governor's office wants to put in the budget that will be then moved forward through the legislature in June, as you know. Locally, a couple things at the Board of Supervisors I want to bring your attention to. The first one is legislation that was introduced to require the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing to open a navigation center in each supervisorial district within the next 6 months where no one exists. And then ultimately, within the next year and a half, the goal is to have a navigation center in every supervisorial district. I bring this to your attention not because we have a responsibility for opening these centers or for siting them, but because we do partner on the service delivery side within the context of the navigation centers, typically around benefits enrollment, to make sure that homeless individuals who come into the navigation center are on Medi-Cal, receive CalFresh benefits and income support should they be eligible, as well as advocacy services for applying for federal disability in many cases. And then the second item is a hearing that will be, I believe, in the first week of May. I brought this to your attention last month, and it's around the hearing is broadly looking at city department compliance with the contracting process with respect to the Board of Supervisors' role. In short, any contract that's over $10 million must be approved by the Board of Supervisors as a whole. This came to light, sort of a review of this process came to light because contract that the Human Services Agency had with Tenderloin Housing Clinic that was then transferred over to the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing that was in excess of $10 million did not go through the proper board process for approval. It was simply a mistake that we made along with the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing, and it just sort of got lost in the shuffle, which we confirmed when we looked at and reviewed all of the other contracts that we have as an agency that exceed $10 million. There was an additional one through the Department of Aging and Adult Services with Meals on Wheels that had also not, we had also not sought the proper approval. That has since gone to the full board and has been approved. So we are now in 100% compliance, but we also undertook a really comprehensive review on our process to look at where we needed to shore up our processes on contracting or contract approval to ensure that large contracts that need to go to the board will continue to do so. And we made a whole number of changes that I will be presenting to the board committee in a couple weeks. It was Supervisor Peskin who called the hearing. I've since met with him a couple times, and he's comfortable with the changes in our process, but he just wants to air that in public so that he and his colleagues are comfortable with the way that we're moving forward and sort of shine the light on this for other city departments that may be out of compliance at times. Within our divisions, sort of the biggest focus right now in our Economic Support and Self-Sufficiency Division is the end of the cash out for SSI and the opening of eligibility for CalFresh for SSI clients. As you recall, and I've mentioned many times, but for our newest commissioner, individuals who are on federal SSI are not eligible for CalFresh, or were not prior to the law change. Instead, they were eligible for simply $10 a month. The legislature last summer reversed this policy, which means that the 47,000 SSI recipients in San Francisco will be eligible or could be eligible for CalFresh. We, as a department, will be getting accepting applications on May 1st. The automation system goes into effect on May 13th, and then the processing of applications will start on June 1st. As you would imagine, this is a huge undertaking. Our current CalFresh caseload is around 32,000-33,000, and so we could see a doubling of this caseload, which is certainly good for our clients. It's also good for the local economy in terms of pumping more money into the local economy. But it is a big undertaking, and part of that undertaking is getting the word out to these 47,000 individuals that they are now eligible for a new benefit. And so to that end, we're engaged with our communications team and with nonprofit agencies to do this marketing and getting the word out. We will be having two community forums. One is on May 22nd in conjunction with the food bank that will be at the public library. And then on May 23rd, in conjunction with the Lighthouse for the Blind and DOS, that will be done again on May 23rd to get the word out. We're also going to be having a presentation at our Aging and Adult Services Commission. We're going to be adding more outstations that we're going to put in zip codes that have high concentrations of SSI recipients. And we're currently partnering with CBOs to do this, to sort of put our eligibility workers in their locations. We're going to be doing pop-up one-day enrollment sites throughout the city to really, again, not only to get the word out, but to make it easy for folks to apply to get onto to benefits. So we'll, you know, of course, be tracking this very closely. As you know, last year we had a budget supplemental approved to add additional staff to do this. We've been training the staff. The automation system is in all candor, is a concern since it won't be going live until May 13th, which does not give us a lot of time to identify bugs and make sure that it's going to be working for our staff and for our enrollment process. And much like the Affordable Care Act, when we almost doubled the Medi-Cal caseload, if we're going to be doubling our CalFresh caseload, we anticipate client wait times in our lobbies. So we are trying to open up and market new channels to get onto benefits, online, initiating through telephone, initiating through partnerships with community-based organizations, and the Social Security Administration as well. So certainly be reporting back on this as we roll it out on the numbers that we're getting through the door and sort of what the caseload volume is looking like. Within our Workforce Development Division, really excited to share that we continue to expand our Jobs Now program. This is our subsidized employment program that has seen almost 25,000 people be placed into jobs since we began the program in 2008. We've expanded it recently to CalFresh recipients and to families who are on Medi-Cal, a certain segment of Medi-Cal called Magi Medi-Cal, which is a new expansion. Formerly, it was simply for individuals and families who were on cash assistance. Now we're expanding to folks who are not on cash but are receiving some other benefit through the Human Services Agency. We've had a lot of interest since our sort of February expansion. We've had 334 people express interest and 227 people actually show up for our orientation, with almost 50 people being placed into jobs and another 40 or so currently in the interview process with private sector employers. And we're also expanding Jobs Now to seniors in partnership with the Community Living Campaign and the Department of Aging and Adult Services and nonprofit agencies, developing employment opportunities for older adults. We implemented this in late March. We've had only 17 seniors sign up so far, but we are continuing to get the word out for those individuals over age 60 who want to get back into the workforce. And then lastly, in our Family and Children's Services Division, my theme will be sort of around Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is the month of April. As you know, you adopted a proclamation at your meeting last month recognizing Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is currently this month. Part of the Child Abuse Awareness Month, of course, is to get the word out about everyone's role in preventing child abuse, from identifying it to knowing what resources are available, to knowing how to call the hotline, to being trained and how to be a mandated reporter. And part of that awareness is a lot of ceremonial things. So not only your proclamation, Mayor Breed is going to be issuing a proclamation on Friday, naming April 26th as a special day for child abuse prevention and child abuse awareness. On April 26th, City Hall will be lit blue in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month. You know, the child abuse prevention ribbon is a blue ribbon. That's the color that symbolizes prevention. And at that same day, both CASA and Safe and Sound, which formerly was called the Child Abuse Prevention Center, will have their annual fundraising events to celebrate our work, but also to raise money and keep this in the forefront of folks' minds. On sort of the practice side and what we're doing around child abuse prevention, the city has a goal of reducing the rate of substantiated maltreatment, basically the rate of child abuse, by lowering it to 3 per 1,000 residents by 2022, basically cutting it in half. So as part of that effort, we are partnering with the Comptroller's Office and other city departments who serve children to do an asset mapping of prevention services across the county. And Commissioner McCray, I think you brought this up last month, or maybe 2 months ago, when you asked sort of who are these agencies and who are the families who are at risk or in crisis. And this is a way to sort of map that, see what community agencies are receiving dollars, who is getting served, where's the overlap, where's the duplication, where are the gaps. So the Comptroller's Office is leading that effort, and it's really towards the work that I talked about a number of months ago, where city partners all convened in San Diego under the auspices of the State Office of Child Abuse Prevention, to develop a citywide plan. It's not just a human services plan, it's a citywide plan to prevent child abuse. We're among 21 other counties who are embarking on this process. And so we're just sort of beginning kind of the identification of what the system looks like, and then with an eye towards improving the system, again, to reduce child maltreatment. And then lastly, again, around on the awareness, throughout the month of April, Safe and Sound, our key nonprofit partner, has launched a social media campaign highlighting the good work that we're doing in San Francisco. And when you look at the numbers, the work really is producing good results. We've seen our first-time entries into foster care decline repeatedly year after year. We're down probably two-thirds fewer entries into foster care now than we were 5-6 years ago. The number of kids in foster care now is under 600. We used to be at 3,000 a decade and a half ago. And so we're certainly doing much better, I think, preventing abuse. And when we see families at risk or in crisis, a better job at providing supports around them to keep families intact and to keep kids safe and at home with their parents and their families. I'll conclude with that and open it up to questions or comments. Commissioner Semmel?
I may have missed it if I did, forgive me. How involved is the agency going to be in the census?
Oh, good question. Commissioner Semmel asked how involved are we going to be, HSA, in the census. We're going to be extremely involved, partnering with the Office of Civic Engagement and Immigrant Affairs, which is the lead. A number of things in partnership with them, not only getting the word out through outreach and mailings to the 225,000 people we serve, but also through our Jobs Now program. We're going to be enrolling and signing people up to be census enumerators, doing outreach in communities, and being paid to do so through Jobs Now. The big concern, of course, is among our immigrant communities, to make sure that they are counted, given the fear that this Trump administration has bred throughout these communities and the desire to maybe remain hidden, given the talk around the status question being included on the census form. It's really important that we get everyone counted. And so we are going to be working with, we already are working with nonprofits in the Mission and in our other immigrant communities to make sure they're engaged and they get the word out so that folks are counted. But thank you for the question. I probably should have included it in my report, and I'll continue to report on that.
Thank you, Trent.
You're welcome. Thanks.
So, moving on, item 6, can I have a motion to approve our consent calendar?
So move the consent calendar.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item 7, Commission Business Action Items. Calling on Sophia Isom and Arlene Hilton. Sophia Isom. Sorry.
Hi. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
So I'm Sophia Isom. I'm a Program Director in Family and Children's Services. I have the oversight of the Resource Family Approval Program, adoptions, our AB 12 clients, and our CFT facilitation workers. I am here on behalf of our Deputy Director, Joan Miller, to formally request that you proclaim the month of May to be Foster Care Awareness Month. I also would like to acknowledge we have a caregiver here and some of our foster children and staff that truly support the collaboration of the purpose of foster care with our caregivers. In Family and Children's Services, we support children that are victims of or at risk of child abuse and neglect. This is one of the most important mandates within the San Francisco Human Services Agency. We realize that our partnership with foster parents and relative caregivers is extremely important in the life of every foster child in our system. National Foster Care Month started in 1998 under President Reagan. The future successes of our society depends on our children. Children grow to become their best selves when they are surrounded by supportive families. Caregivers support foster youth and help them to see a future of greater promise and hope. At this time, I would like to read the proclamation. Whereas the family is the foundation of a strong and healthy community, and whereas in San Francisco, there are 539 children and youth in foster care, and whereas in San Francisco, there are 191 foster young adults in non-minor dependent status, and whereas resource families, including related and non-related extended family members, provide an essential service to the community in caring for children and youth in the foster care system, and whereas the importance of the family structure is best served in foster homes that model family living as opposed to group care, and whereas the stability and permanency for children and foster children is of the most utmost importance, and whereas permanency is defined as both a process and result that includes the active involvement of the child and youth, and whereas permanency is defined as a permanent connection with at least one committed adult, which may include the biological parents through reunification, or with another adult family member, fictive kin, adult siblings, or other important individuals in the child or youth's life who commit to the child through adoption or guardianship. Whereas it is the responsibility of the entire community to make sure that each youth who leaves the foster care system in California has a permanent lifelong connection with a caring adult, and whereas San Francisco is in need of dedicated care providers who will strive in the partnership with the Human Services Agency to identify and connect children and youth in foster care to permanent lifelong relationships, and whereas dedicated case providers model strength-based and solution-focused engagement with the children and youth in their care and with the community-based and government entities providing services and support, and whereas community-based organizations within San Francisco partner with the San Francisco Human Services Agency to provide accessible and culturally relevant family-centered services that meet the unique needs of the families and children we serve. Therefore, be it resolved that the San Francisco Human Services Commission proclaims May 2019 Foster Care Month and urges all community members to volunteer their talents and energies to honor children and youth in foster care and those who have exited the foster care system during this month. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we just also would like to announce we're hoping to see you guys at the annual Foster Parent Appreciation event on Friday.
May 10th
at the San Francisco Conference Center. I believe you guys have all received invitations, and we're hoping that you attend. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I move proclamation. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item B, calling on Tiana Wertheim, CalFresh Awareness and Action Month.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Tiana. I am one of six CalFresh and Medi-Cal managers here today to present our request that May 2019 additionally be declared the CalFresh Awareness and Action Month. And we're going to have many more whereases, and we ask for your forgiveness in advance because this is a bit of a mouthful, but here we go. This is a resolution declaring May as CalFresh Awareness and Action Month in the City and County of San Francisco and urging all community members to support efforts to increase awareness of and participation in the CalFresh program. Whereas access to safe, nutritious, and culturally acceptable food is a basic human right and is essential to human health. Whereas food security is a state in which all persons obtain nutritionally adequate, culturally acceptable diet through local non-emergency sources. And whereas food security is the foundation of a strong and healthy community. Whereas one in four San Franciscans suffer from hunger and food insecurity. And whereas food insecurity results in poor nutritional intake, unhealthy eating behaviors, and is associated with poor health outcomes. Whereas a robust CalFresh program is critical to providing financial resources for food to thousands of San Franciscans. Whereas the average household on CalFresh in San Francisco receives about $200 per month for groceries, CalFresh is provided on an electronic benefits card that can be used in supermarkets, corner stores, and at all San Francisco farmers markets. And it can be used at dozens of restaurants by those who are homeless, elderly, or disabled. And where CalFresh spurs the local economy, because CalFresh dollars generate a 1.79 economic multiplier. The city pays for only 15% of the cost of administering the program and zero of the benefit allotment, which means that for $3.6 million of a local investment, CalFresh brings in $173 million in benefits and associated economic activity. Whereas roughly 46,000 individuals in San Francisco currently receive CalFresh, yet an estimated 30,000 other individuals may be eligible but are not enrolled. And whereas we have a new opportunity to increase the number of people receiving CalFresh due to a recent reversal of a decades-long policy that has prohibited SSI recipients from participating in CalFresh. We estimate that an additional 25,000 individuals in San Francisco will be newly eligible to receive CalFresh benefits starting in June 2019. Whereas a key opportunity for increasing participation is conducting targeted outreach to people who are likely eligible, such as students, older adults, people with disabilities, and parents with young children. And whereas another opportunity to increase participation is to reduce churn, people discontinued from CalFresh who then reapply within 3 months. It is estimated that approximately 19% of CalFresh participants in San Francisco experience churn. And whereas another opportunity to increase participation is to debunk myths and fears about participating, especially those related to immigrant status. Whereas community partners, city agencies, local leaders, all have a role to play in furthering awareness about CalFresh and promoting this critical program. And whereas San Francisco stands united to promoting CalFresh to the local community, improving the CalFresh participation rate, and offering robust county options for meeting the newly established federal work requirements, therefore, it is resolved that the San Francisco Human Services Commission shall proclaim May 2019 to be CalFresh Awareness and Action Month and shall urge all community members to support efforts to increase awareness of and participation in the CalFresh program. Thanks. Thanks.
What are we doing to make this known in the community so people take advantage of this opportunity? I mean, it's one thing to proclaim the month and then don't do nothing about it.
I'll bring up our communications director, Chandra Johnson, to respond. Commissioner Semmel asked around what we're doing to get the word out around CalFresh Awareness Month.
Certainly. Well, I don't know how the stars aligned, but CalFresh Awareness Month and the SSI cash out implementation are hand in hand throughout May. So through what we would normally be doing with our media outreach and engagement with clients, really it's going to be the dual purpose of celebrating CalFresh Awareness as well as really onboarding people to this, you know, large expansion that we're going to undertake. So we had a call yesterday with Kim McCoy-Wade, the CalFresh chief, branch chief, and she walked all of the counties through their communications plan, so we'll be in synergy with the state as well. So it's really a twofold this month in May, this year in May, that is. Yeah, sure.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Elizabeth Vargas with the HSA IT Department under the CalWIN program. And the Human Services Agency is requesting authorization to modify the existing contract agreement with DXC Technologies for an amount of $11,253,500, plus a 10% contingency for a total contract amount not to exceed $37,645,924. For the period of July 1st, 2020 until January 31st, 2023. CalWIN is our computer system that is used by our staff to determine eligibility and issue benefits for our public assistance programs. And the DXC Technology Services is the contractor that's responsible for ongoing development, maintenance, and operation in the CalWIN system. So the current contract expires June 30th, 2020. This request is to extend the contract for another 3 years until January 2023. In 2023, it is anticipated that CalWIN will be replaced by CalSAWS, which is a new computer system that all 58 counties will use in California. Any questions?
So the extension gets us a better deal to make that coverage time?
until the new system comes in for just, just 11 million additional? Is that what we're doing, or does that preclude us from having to do a new contract with someone at more cost?
So this is really kind of a continuation of our existing way of doing business. So as Liz said, the state is moving to a single state automated welfare system, and at this point we are assuming that will become available in early 2023. We need to keep CalWIN running until 2023, and so this is the extension contract that allows that to happen.
As opposed to going to find a new contract for 1 year or an indefinite
Correct. I mean, the CalSAWS consortium is going to come into existence in 2 months. But what it's going to do mainly over the first few years is actually get CalSAWS up and running. And so there are currently three state automated welfare systems in California, and those three systems have to keep running until the CalSAWS system is ready.
So move.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Ann, you're still up here again, Elizabeth.
Yep.
Okay, item D, California State Association of Counties, requesting authorization to modify the existing contract.
Yeah, this is a request to modify the existing contract with California State Association of Counties, which is CSAC in short, for an additional amount of $1,632,766 plus a 10% contingency for a revised total amount not to exceed $2,696,199 for the period of July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2023. For continuity of CalWIN services, San Francisco has to retain its membership with CSAC. CSAC provides such services such as staffing to oversee daily operations of the CalWIN system, manage the CalWIN maintenance and operations vendor, provides administrative support such as payroll and benefit services for consortium staff, and handle any other business of the consortium. CSAC also provides staffing support activities to migrate CalWIN to the future statewide automated welfare system of CalSAWS. So it's our understanding that sometime after the CalSAWS joint powers authority is up and running, this contract and the comparable contracts from 17 other counties will be reassigned to CalSAWS.
So move.
All in favor?
Question, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Rohr. So when we see, as in C, 11 million, is that one of those that we have to get prepared to go before the supervisors with? Is that's why I raised that kind of a question. Because when 11 million jumped up,
yes,
I heard you say 10 million.
Yep.
So the simple answer is yes.
Okay.
And so John's staff has prepared a Board of Supervisors packet, which is sitting on my desk at the moment, but that will be submitted right after your approval.
Yep. Okay. Thank you for asking.
Item G, Jira Arase. Item B. Yeah. Okay. I'm so sorry.
No.
Vanetta Dunlap.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Vanetta Dunlap, and I'm a new Program Support Analyst for Family and Children Services. The Human Service Agency requests authorization to modify the existing contract with Safe and Sound for the provision of
ancillary services for the Child Abuse Prevention Council. For the period of July 1st, 2018 through March 31st, 2023, in the amount of $193,296 plus a 10% contingency, for a new total contract amount not to exceed $774,590. The purpose of this modification is to cover increased costs for ancillary services, specifically wages and benefits for receptionists, shared office supplies, building maintenance supplies and repair, training, travel, and equipment for the interagency collaborative consisting of the Human Service Agency, the Office of the City Attorney, the Office of the District Attorney, San Francisco Police Department, and the Department of Public Health. This will help the collaborative address child abuse issues in San Francisco. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors has designated Safe and Sound as the mandated independent child abuse prevention council to coordinate San Francisco's efforts to prevent and respond to child abuse as required by state law. Safe and Sound has a long partnership with Family and Children's Services, working regularly with our department and other key partners in multiple venues to improve outcomes for children and families. This is a sole source contract due to its designation as San Francisco's Child Abuse Prevention Council since 1982. I'm glad to answer any questions you may have regarding this contract.
So moved.
All in favor?
Thank you.
I'm sorry for my mistake.
Oh, no.
My eyes went to the wrong page. That's happening more often than I'd like to admit. Item F. Denise Corvino. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Denise Corvino, Deputy Director of the Office of Early Care and Education. And today we're asking the Commissioners for approval to modify an existing grant to Wuyi Children's Services for the next fiscal year period of July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2020 for an additional $6,016,576 with a 10% contingency not to exceed $42,036,965. The purpose of this modification is to increase the grant amount in year three of an existing contract to continue the early care and education integrated services. Wuyi has been an important partner in our early care and education system in San Francisco, particularly for providing subsidy or scholarship administration and resource and referral services to help ensure that our system functions well for the children, their families, and the providers who take care of them. The city's new early learning scholarship system was launched in 2017, and as we refine that system, we are determining allocations and correct funding strategies, and therefore we're requesting this modification to help adjust those original projections. WUI's original budget was developed as part of a complete citywide redesign of our early care and education financing system, and various factors such as rate changes have contributed to the need for funding modifications. This funding will ensure Wuyi can continue to provide uninterrupted services to families and children currently being served, and an additional 120 children, and also brings our projected expenditures into alignment from year one and two. Wuyi was selected through a competitive RFP process, and the total funding is a mix of federal, state, and local funding in its entirety as far as the contract. I thank you for your time and consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
You indicated 6 million. Is it 6 or 9?
Let me double check the memo. I think you're right. I apologize. I had a typo in my notes. Yes, sorry, 9 million. Nine. Good catch. 9,016,576. My apologies. Big
so
difference.
Thank you.
I think
are we talking about children 3? or 4 years old.
So we're talking about children birth to 5 years old to help our continuous care for children
very
under
important.
Kindergarten.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Item G. Hi, Jira. Welcome. California State Department of Rehabilitation. How do you pronounce your name?
Jiro. Jiro Arase.
Arase. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. I am Jiro Arase, and I'm a program monitor for Welfare to Work Services. The Department of Human Services requests authorization to enter into a new cooperative agreement with the California Department of Rehabilitation for the period of July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2022, in the amount of $171,849. Plus a 10% contingency for a total amount not to exceed $189,034. The purpose of this agreement is to provide vocational rehabilitation services to HSA clients with disabilities, including clients of CAP, CalWORKs, and CalFresh. The Department of Rehabilitation, or DOR, provides assessment, vocational training, and job readiness and placement services to HSA participants who want to work but are struggling with disabilities in achieving their employment goals. Program participants are either referred by DHS staff or are clients who access DOR services directly and are verified by DHS as being eligible. DOR conduct intake and assessment and refer clients to its subcontractor, Positive Resource Center, or PRC, for employment services. The PRC case manager provides job coaching and facilitates workplace accommodations for client disabilities. Once hired, clients receive individualized follow-up to promote job retention. The Department of Rehabilitation will serve a minimum of 35 participants per year through PRC. I am available to answer any questions. Jun So, District Operations Services Manager from DOR San Francisco District Office, is also available to answer questions.
Can I have a motion for approval?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
next, right
yes.
here.
The Department of Human Services requests authorization to enter into a new grant agreement with San Francisco Clean City Coalition for the period of July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2022, in the amount of $957,190. Plus a 10% contingency for a total amount not to exceed $1,052,909. The purpose of this grant is to provide a comprehensive employment training program that assists men and women transitioning from homelessness and public assistance to employment and to address core employment barriers. The Department of Human Services works with other city agencies and nonprofit organizations to develop various paid training programs for the diverse segments of welfare population. There is also an initiative to improve the appearance and upkeep of San Francisco neighborhoods. Clean City will provide transitional employment opportunities to low-income and formerly homeless individuals through community improvement activities. Clean City will enroll 40 participants per year, and at least 75% of those individuals will be recipients of HSA's public assistance programs. Participants will perform duties such as well tree maintenance or tree well maintenance for civic improvements and beautification in various San Francisco neighborhoods. As the employer of record, Clean City will offer 12 to 20 hours per week of work to participants for up to 4 months. Each participant will also attend weekly job readiness and vocational workshops, as well as supervised job search activities. I am available to answer any questions. Gia Grant, Executive Director of Clean City, is also available for questions.
Is the Clean City person here? Yeah. Oh, come right
on up. Oh, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. My name is Gia Grant. I'm the Executive Director of San Francisco Clean City. Hi, John.
Do you have any questions?
You just wanted to have
a
come
bit of faith.
I think in the future when we call out somebody's name,
yes.
I think I'd ask that they stand up so we know who they are.
Put a face with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
All in favor? So moved. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item I, Liz, and this is a new grant for Seneca Family of Agencies.
Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Liz Crudo. I'm a program manager of Family and Children's.
Could you stand a little closer to the mic?
Sure.
Talk a little. There you go.
Okay. I'm Liz Crudo. I'm a program manager with Family and Children's, and I'd like to introduce Seneca managers Amy Kirstein, who's the regional executive director for San Francisco Programs, and Ali Speakup, who's the Director of Crisis Services for Seneca. And we are here, I'm here today to ask for authorization to enter into a grant with Seneca for the provision of the hub agency services in the amount of $6,807,269, plus a 10% contingency fee for a not to exceed amount total of $7,487,996. From April 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022. You heard Trent talking earlier about the continuum of care reform efforts throughout the state and here in San Francisco, and this contract reflects part of our implementation of the statewide reform effort and its significant policy changes directing placement and treatment options for youth in foster care. The hub contract is also part of our new emergency placement model that we will engage in when the Child Protection Center closes, and I know you've heard about that recently when you approved the Alternative Family Services contract earlier this year. So this contract builds on that direct placement in AFS foster homes for children without behavioral challenges and seeks to provide support for those children who do have more intensive behavioral health needs. It involved an extensive interagency planning process. We work closely with Department of Public Health in developing the RFP as well as the contract. And we also work with CASE consultants in looking at models in other jurisdictions and states, in particular a nationally recognized model in New Jersey that informed our planning. So our resulting program is a comprehensive one, both programmatically and fiscally. It offers a prevention approach through its mobile crisis response, with the goal of maintaining a child in a family home when possible through enhanced and timely connections to quality mental health services. And it also offers dedicated no-eject, no-reject beds in short-term residential treatment for those children and youth who require this level of intervention. Similar to the current pilot we are doing with AFS foster homes, placement in these residential beds would be piloted prior to the complete closure of the Child Protection Center later this year. Fiscally, the program utilizes an integrated funding stream. In addition to this contract, it will be supported by EPSCT Medi-Cal dollars for clinical staffing and services and 4E placement dollars for day-to-day staffing of the dedicated beds. Seneca has been a significant partner with us on multiple endeavors for many years, and we're looking forward to their partnership in this new contract. The selection was made through a competitive bid process. And we appreciate your consideration of this request, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Good to meet you, and thanks for coming and standing right up. As I looked at the budget, I see that the second or largest piece involves this operating expense for emergency placement subcontracts. Would you explain that to me, what that is?
So Seneca is the grantee, and they are working with Edgewood over on Vicente Street, who will be providing two of the four beds.
Okay.
For the emergency beds. Right, so that...
So two of the beds will be at Edgewood, two will be located at the campus, which is off in Petaluma.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item J, Chandra Johnson, requesting existing contract with Circle Point.
Hi there. Good morning, Commissioners. Chandra Johnson, HSA Director of Communications. This morning I'm requesting authorization to modify our contract with Circle Point for the period of May 1st, 2019 through December 31st in the amount of $134,810. In late 2017, for the first time, the Human Services Agency launched a brand reputation strategy project to better engage San Francisco residents and to shape public perception of our agency as a provider of high-quality human services. This was in response to observations by the Human Services Commission and our staff that while we provide vital services to one in four San Francisco residents, HSA is still largely unknown among city residents and even within some city departments. Further, the relationship between HSA and its three departments, which include Human Services, Aging and Adult Services, Early Care and Education, can often be confusing among policymakers and our many important partner community-based organizations. During phase one of this project with Circle Point, we undertook research to better understand our target audiences. Through a series of interviews with partner stakeholders such as Arriba Juntos, Young Community Developers, Wuyi Children's Services, and focus groups with clients and residents, including Spanish and Cantonese-speaking households, it is clear that our clients and stakeholders do not know HSA as an agency as well as they know the individual programs that we provide. For example, Medi-Cal families with young children were not aware that our Office of Early Care and Education can connect them with support for high-quality preschool. This lack of transparency hinders HSA's ability to promote services across our departments and for clients to receive the full suite of services that they may benefit from and, of course, be eligible for. With the support of Circle Point, we are currently developing an external communications plan and cohesive visual identity brand through a new look, feel, and language that clarifies the relationship between HSA's and its three departments. And we look forward to coming back to this commission in the fall and presenting that new look and feel for you to get to know. With your authorization of the contract modification today, we will have the ability to implement phase two, a new external communications plan. And this will include communications and marketing strategies such as website enhancements, social media advertising, outreach materials, text and direct mail to clients and San Francisco residents that builds upon our new brand and mission to promote well-being and positive outcomes among individuals, families, and underserved communities in San Francisco. And I'm happy to answer any questions about the contract today or our broader communications goals.
Any questions from members of the commission? Rita, I know you will have a question about this.
I think it's great, and it's about time. It's long overdue, and I'm delighted that you're going to do it. Therefore, I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Semmel, you should get some credit for us pursuing this for your probably first 12 months on the commission, repeatedly, banging the gong on getting the word out for what we do. So I appreciate your leadership on that. It's great in this case.
Elizabeth, please make sure that gets in the minutes. Okay, and speaking of Commissioner Semmel, I'm asking for a vote on the reappointment of Commissioner Semmel to the IHSS Public Authority. for another term. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that organization.
I'd be glad to. IHS, a public authority, keeps 20,000 Medi-Cal people in their homes, providing services which permit them to stay in their homes. Can you imagine what would happen if 20,000 Medi-Cal people could not stay in their homes? We're already suffering from a lack of residences and homes, and to dump another 20,000 on the city would be impossible. The director is Kelly Dearman, who used to serve on this commission. She does a fabulous job, and she's got an extremely capable staff, and it's a pleasure to serve on, represent HSA on this commission. Thank you very much.
I so move.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
The motion can be on the floor, but I would like to be sure that I be able to modify it in the way that I think is proper, because the characterization of this as a reappointment is not accurate. So if you wish to withdraw, okay, thank you. Yeah, I in my role as the head nitpicker, this is not a reappointment. This is a recommendation, having read the bylaws of the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority of San Francisco, which was established through Board of Supervisors Ordinance Number 185-95, apparently around 2014. The Human Services Commission, among other entities in the city and county of San Francisco, under the bylaws of the IHSS Public Authority, Article 2, Section 2.4, is charged with the responsibility of recommending a member of the commission to the authority for forwarding to the Board of Supervisors, which makes the final appointment. And this is a little bit of arcane information, my specialty. And so I move that the Human Services Commission, pursuant to Section 2.4 of the IHSS Public Authority of San Francisco bylaws, recommend to that public authority that Commissioner Rita Semel, her name be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors as the representative of the Human Services Commission for another 3-year term.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And thank you, George, for I'm going to use the term you use, nitpicky.
Parliamentary.
Yeah. I see there is no request for public comment, so our meeting is adjourned.
I didn't know.
Good morning.
So, Liz, I hadn't flipped the page when you were. It was there. I just.
It's a board like. It's a board like you can't imagine. I mean, we've got this commission and. No, but. It's unbelievable. Well, it's only possible because of Kelly. She is terrific.